You say revival streams of gospel Luke. You read chapter 18, and then verse 31. Verse 43. Now reference to God's standards of the word of God. Luke chapter 18, and then verse 31. Then he took the 12 aside and told them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem. Everything that is written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked, insulted, spit on, and after they flog him, they will kill him, and he will rise on the third day." They understood none of these things. The meaning of the saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what was happening. Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. So he called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those at front told him to keep quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. When he came closer, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," he said, "I want to see." See your sight. So, "Your faith has saved." Instantly he could see, and he began to follow him, glorifying God. All the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Sunday we were looking at the previous verses. How do you get into heaven? Jesus started, we started our passage where Jesus is having children brought to him to bless them. And the disciples, they want these children not to be coming to Jesus. Don't bother Jesus with the children. But Jesus says, "Bring them to me. Don't hinder them. Because they are the example of how you're saved. Through a simple, childlike faith. Not by some intellectual endeavor are we saved. It's understanding the truth and accepting it." Then we have an example of a rich ruler. Someone that thought he was righteous. And he came to Jesus wanting eternal life. He asked Jesus, "How do I get eternal life?" "The commandments. You know what they say. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And the man said, "I've kept all these since my youth." But Jesus doesn't confront him with whether that's true or not, but instead points out where this man falls short. He gave commandments that relate to how we deal with other people. But Jesus pointed out his relationship with God was the problem. He says, "Go and give all you have to the poor. Come follow me." He said, "The man went away sad because he had a great God." He thought he was righteous on his own. But when God pointed out his sin, he went away. Now we don't know if he came later and was saved. But we know that at this point he went away. We talked about what the purpose of the law was. In Galatians 3:24 it tells us the law was put in charge to Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith. The Ten Commandments, and there's actually 613 different commandments in the Bible. The Big Ten we look at are to show us that we are sinners in need of saving. We are not righteous in and of ourselves. And then Jesus goes on to say to his disciples, it's hard for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to say, if that's impossible, it's hard. Now it's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. The disciples understood, like many at the time, or thought they understood, that if you're rich, you're being blessed by God. All riches come from God. But that doesn't mean you're a righteous person and you're wealthy. There are a lot of people that aren't righteous who have a lot of money. Well, the disciples then asked Jesus, well, who can be saved then? They were thinking, well, it's the rich that are most blessed by God. Yeah. With God, it's impossible. The outcome is impossible. With God, all things are possible. And then we come to our passage today. Jesus takes the 12 disciples away privately. He gives them instruction. And he begins telling them everything that was written about the Son of Man in the Old Testament is going to be fulfilled. And then he goes into detail. He says, I'm going to be handed over to the Gentiles. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be insulted. I'm going to be spit upon. They're going to flog me, and then they're going to kill me. And then after 3 days, our lives will be fulfilled. But it says the disciples didn't understand it. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in this situation where you're thinking about something, you're focused on something, and somebody's talking to you and you don't understand a thing they say. Now, I experienced it with one of my students. I was trying to explain a simple math problem, but the student was focused on what the other student was doing across the room and didn't hear a thing I said. Now, wives, don't look at your husband and say, yeah, and you do that. But wives do it too. Wives don't hear what their husbands say at times. Husbands don't hear what their wives say at times. But the disciples, they were focused on something else. They were focused on what they thought the kingdom of God was going to be. What they thought the Messiah was going to do. They thought the Messiah was going to set up an earthly kingdom right then. And that, a little bit later in one of the other Gospels, it says that they were arguing about who was the greatest. And the two sons of Zebedee had their mother ask Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, can one of my sons sit on the throne to your right and the other son sit on the throne to your left? Can they be your vice kings or your princes right there in your kingdom? And Jesus correctly don't understand what you're asking for. They thought Jesus would bring the earthly kingdom. And oftentimes we don't understand what God is doing and how he's doing it. And then Jesus gives a physical example. There's a blind man. Now it doesn't surprise you, Jesus, there was a blind man there. Jesus had an appointment with this blind man near Jericho. And Jericho is downhill from Jerusalem. When you go to Jerusalem, one of the main ways is going through Jericho at the time of Jesus, and you go up the road to Jerusalem from Jericho. Well, there's a blind man. The blind man hears the commotion. Something's going on. Now, as soon as I saw him, I looked out, please start calling for him. But they do that all the time. And we encourage them to do that. Who's his partner? Because that's where he does his paperwork. But and also, very good with police cars, our parking lot, because we don't have to worry that much about hiring security because the sheriff is always out in the parking lot. And it's one of the few places that has a street light and a big parking lot for sitting and waiting for a call. Well, Jesus was walking by and there was a commotion. So the blind man sort of like, and I didn't want to look at the police car. So, what's going on? Something's happening. They said, Jesus of Nazareth is going to die. Now, they tell him, Jesus from Nazareth. But he understands who Jesus is. And he calls out to Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David is a term used to describe the Messiah. Jesus was recognized by the blind man as not just being a carpenter from Nazareth, not just a teacher, but the Messiah promised by God. And he calls out. But people try to stop him. Said, don't bother him. Stop calling out. But the blind man didn't let people stop him calling out. He cried out all the more, have mercy on me. His cry also indicated that he understood his position. He had nothing to offer Jesus. He was begging for mercy. Jesus called him. He came to Jesus. And Jesus healed him. We can learn from this because there are a lot of things going on in the world today. It should be getting our attention. Why is this happening? We could say, what's going on in the world when there's so much evil going on? People are resorting to violence on people that are just speaking truth. Do we, when we hear about things that are private, why are these events happening? Do we understand what the Bible says about these? Just like Jesus was heading to Jerusalem and told the disciples everything that's about to happen in the next few days, so God knows what's going to happen in the next few years. He knows what's going to happen in the next few minutes. And we look through time, see what we should do, and the explanation for the events that are going on. And then do we call out to Jesus? Help us understand. To help us in our need, do we recognize, like the blind man, we have nothing to offer God on our own? Or we have to call out for mercy. Call out for mercy. Do people try to stop us? Or do we let them stop us? That's what we do. We're trying to help them. Do we just put what some people say to keep our mouth shut from God? Or we believe? And even endorse what other people believe is a beautiful God's way. We speak up. We reform our God. And we secure it. The blind man was an example for us. Was an example to the disciples. The disciples heard what Jesus said, and they didn't understand. Did they ask Jesus to explain it to them? Did they come to Jesus and say, help us understand? No, they took nothing on their own long perception. We need to remember to follow the example, not of the disciples, or we're just ignoring what Jesus said. But by the example of Martin, who understood the scripture, understood that Jesus was not just an earthly man, but he was the Messiah, who was going to set everything straight. He also understood that Jesus had the ability to heal. To heal people. Yes, he did. All of them. There's another account. Two blind men and one man. Apparently, only one of them. The majority of the talker. Whose example are we following? Are we looking at Scripture? Are we going to look at Jesus? Are we going to glorify God? And what he makes. Dear Lord, I thank you for giving us the example that sometimes those closest to you don't understand what you're trying to teach them. But there are other people that have searched the scripture and understand who you are and what you can do. Call out to you for this. Let us learn from all the situations in this world. Let us understand that you are the one that has the power to do everything. And you desire for us to learn more. And not let anyone stop us from speaking to you. Let us proclaim you. Well, I